Thank you, and welcome to our first day of the Holy Week. It is Palm Sunday, hence the palms. Another word is Passion Sunday. And we're going to talk about the path to the Passion. Now, again, per usual, I like to use these Orthodox Christian terminologies kind of to get you a little shaken, because I like that. But really, the whole Easter season and the passion really is the passion of embracing the fact that you will lay yourself down to die only to rise and awaken brand new. And that we should be passionate about this. For this is the time where we, an opportunity where we have to be able to step in, come out of our shell, come out of our old lambskin, and to become that which we were born to be. That, and to embrace the title that we were born to have, which is the Christ. To truly, fully acknowledge that we are God incarnate. But the story goes, and the story goes, of Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday. Can you imagine, let me set the story, can you imagine going out of town somewhere and knowing that you're going out of town and in less than a week of arriving there, you're there to die? That's really what's happening here as Jesus goes forth. Jesus has already foretold his death. His disciples are freaking out going, God, you know, Jesus, no, God, what are you talking about? You have to stay with us. And he keeps telling them, no, I'm leaving. And his entry into Jerusalem is that beginning to his end. Mark 11 talks about, and when they drew near to Jerusalem, Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. So I start there because I want to explain that any time, and I invite you to read the story in any of the Gospels of Jesus' victorious entry. Because really, anytime you see a name in the Bible, Charles Fillmore metaphysically interpreted it in different ways. And here these are Hebrew names, and they had special meaning. And so Charles Fillmore, when he metaphysically interpreted them, he didn't take them out of context. No, he used the meaning. And so when we talk about Jerusalem then is interpreted as a place of peace. So as he was going to Jerusalem, he was entering what would be a place of peace. And many times when we talk about a place of peace, we think about a place where our minds are just at peace, like a Caribbean vacation or something, where we're sitting out at sea and we can just relax. But another way of thinking of that is that this is a place where he would be laid to peace, laid to rest literally. A place where he can just, his body can be free. Bethphage means a place of unripe fruit. It's a place in our awareness where grace is realized, but it's still immature. We still haven't received it yet, but the fruits are there, ready to be ripened. And when we talk about Bethany, it means a place of wailing, a place of limitation, a place of affliction, and it also means the overcoming of all these things. We've all been there, haven't we? We've been in a place of going into a place where we know that we'll be in some form of a pain. Whether it's a bad family situation where you've maybe not have had relations with your family members, but for some reason you're all coming together and you know that stuff is going to come up again, and you're kind of like, oh, and you're kind of wailing about it. Oh, I don't want to go. You've been in a place where you know there's grace there, but you know something's just not right. It's just not mature. But you know something's good there. And even within ourselves, there are aspects within ourselves that are great, beautiful, luscious fruit. They're still maturing. We are still that luscious fruit that still is maturing to be ripe, to be ripened into the Christ, that which we are meant to be, into the spiritual awakening. Well, Jesus recognizes all this as he goes into each place. Can you imagine in your death, you would be kind of going into a place of affliction. You know you're about to die. And you know, though, that there's something that still needs to be done because the fruits aren't ripe yet. And you need to do all these things to be at peace. And so Jesus sets this up by telling two of his disciples, could you go to this little town opposite from where we're going? And as soon as you get there, you'll find a donkey. And I want you to take this donkey and bring it to me. Now, if someone comes out, of course someone's going to come out. You're stealing their donkey, right? If someone comes out and asks, what are you doing? You say, I'm taking this to the Lord. The Lord has need of this. And we will make sure that you will get it back. And so, of course, that's what the two disciples do. They go. And just like Jesus said, they find this donkey. And they unravel the donkey. And, of course, the people come out and say, what are you doing with our donkey? And they say what Jesus told them to say. And off they come with their donkey, as the story goes. Now, pardon?
Kind of like these aren't the droids you're looking for.
Say it again?
Kind of like these aren't the droids you're looking for.
These
the Star Wars?
Roger's a little bit too early in the morning. And I would say, yes, you are correct. I'm like, droids? Where do we go from the Bible to droids? What's the metaphysical meaning of that, Roger? And thank you, yes. And now I've left with you, and I think we all have. I appreciate that. Please don't resist next at the 11 o'clock service either. At least I'll get it then, quickly. And so, thanks, Roger. Now I'm kind of going back to where I'm at. But it's the donkey and the leaving. And so that's what I was going to do. So what does the donkey represent? When we think of donkey, and I'm asking you actually, you can yell out what your thoughts are about a donkey. Troy, thanks a lot. Beast of burden. Yeah. Some characteristics, though.
They travel
something to carry. But about?
Slow.
Stubborn, slow, obstinate. Actually, I looked up donkey, and it is pretty much what we say. They are notorious for being stubborn. But did you know that the stubbornness was not because it's their kind of like one of their strong sense of will, it's their strong sense of self-preservation. And that if they're stubborn and don't want to move, it's because they're scared. So they're not going to go someplace with someone they don't know. If they don't trust you, they're not going anywhere. They're staying. Haven't you seen the pictures? I see pictures, for some reason, the old Mexican pictures of a donkey kind of sitting down and someone with a sombrero kind of going like, come on, come on, come on. And that's the picture of a donkey. And yet, no, and what's another name for a donkey? Because in the Bible, yes. A jackass is a male. A jackass is... And in the Bible, in some of the older Bibles, because that's, before it became a naughty word, that's what they called it. And note that a donkey here represents us. It represents our sense nature. It represents taking the name of ass. It's us getting our butts in the way. You can say our butts, B-U-T-T, or B-U-T. I will use B-U-T right now.
You're calling me
jackass. I'm calling us all sometimes. I'm saying, yes, all of us can be, yes. Think about it. When we're scared, when we don't know what's going on, what do? You can't get me someplace if I'm thinking I'm in danger. I don't know how courageous I'm going to be. You know, if there's a fire there, I would hope that if I see a baby, I'll go lurching out and saving the baby, but I don't really know. I think I will. I think all of us would, but still, we never really know until the danger comes. And we could just be stopped. How many times have we been stopped deer in headlights when danger's coming? And I don't know if it's a stubbornness, but we just don't, we can't move. We become the donkey. How many times in a situation are we stubborn about something? We're not going to move off of that either. We know that we're right, and we don't care what you say. We know that we're right, and we're right. Dagnabbit. And if you can't figure that out, then that's too bad, because I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm doing it because I'm right. How many of us have been there in that stubbornness? Liar, liar, pants on fire. No, I wasn't pointing at you, Karen. I was pointing right behind you. And so Jesus gets on this donkey. They take the donkey to Jesus. Now, that's a feat right there. Here is an unridden donkey, by the way. This donkey has never been touched. It has never been broken. So the fact that they can take this donkey to Jesus is one, the first miracle. The fact that once they get there and they place their robes and their garments over it. And what does Jesus do? He just climbs on and gets right on top of it. Now, if I were to bring a regular donkey, let alone an untamed donkey, outside of the church and said, get on it, good luck. First of all, fire me because I'm putting you in danger, because usually a donkey, again, if it doesn't know you or trust you, it's going to buck you off. Or it's going to sit down, it's not going to move. But no, the magic of this is that Jesus got right on, bareback at that, and was just able to ride in. And as he rode into Jerusalem on this untamed animal that he was able to quickly tame, people laid down their garments, they laid down palms, they covered the street saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest, Hosanna. Now, what does Hosanna mean? Well, it means, in many ways, save. Save us. It means, biblically, the Hebrew Bible says it's used as in such ways as help or save, I pray. It means save now. Now, I didn't know that for a long time. That, can you imagine riding down this street and people are yelling for you to save them? Save me. Save me. Save me. And in many ways, aren't we doing the same thing? In many ways, in our lives, when we find that we are entering a place of habitation that is still has grace but is unripe, a place that is wailing with limitations, don't we? Isn't that when we start praying to God, save me, help me? And getting into the passion, the only way we can find the peace is to do what Jesus did, which is to tame instantly those jackass responses within ourselves, to be able to get our butts out of the way so that we can be at peace. You know those butts, those things that when you hear Spirit saying, do this, and you go, but I can't do because of this. But I don't have an education, but I don't have enough money, but I am scared, but I am whatever, the flurry of things that stop us, that continue to allow our animal instincts to flare us up and buck us out of the path of the passion, continues to come up. And this is the time, especially when you know you're going into a situation that is hard. This is the time where you really need to get your butts out of the way and allow yourself to open up to God. Because that's what Jesus did. He had a complete connection. We all have a connection, but he allowed himself to be completely used, allowing his will not to interfere with the will of God, but to allow God's will to continue to move through in and in him and continuously. I go back to knowing that he was going to die. If you knew you were going onto a plane or a train or an automobile and you were heading towards your death, How easily would you be able to calm your animal instinct, your fright or flight instincts? I'm still practicing, and I don't know if I would be able to get on that plane or that train. I might be able to go on to there, but I might be wanting to say, can we turn back now? Can we turn back? Can I get off now? We all do. But the way that we can move to overcome it is to move through it fearlessly, grabbing a hold of those sense instincts, knowing that God is with us before. If God is sending us to a situation, it will be all good. Well, Crystal, how can you say a death is all good? I am talking about a death of our man self so that we can shed it, so that we can have the spiritual truth right here. We are all individual expressions of God living right here. And our duty, our mandate, is to provide ourselves with the opportunities to transcend the sense consciousness, i.e., this world of smell, sight, and only recognize the truth because you can smell it, taste it, feel it, or see it, and have faith in the opportunities that God has given us, those unseen fruits that are ripe. Allow God's will of good to ripen them, to ripen us, so that we can move beyond this consciousness of sense, move beyond this consciousness of lack and limitation, move beyond this consciousness of not being able to do, of the buts, into the yes. Into the yes, I will embrace the truth of myself as a spiritual being. I will embrace the truth of myself as God, the individualized expression of God, and that me as I am right now is great because I am the individualized expression of God. And the only way you can do that is to allow yourself to die so that you can rise to your greatness. To move your butt out of the way so the truth of yourself can move forward. To grab a hold of that jackass that is within you and that sometimes can be you. And say, no, I have had enough. To realize that that which can save you is the Christ that is within you. And that anytime you find yourself in the situation, open yourself up to God. Let God's will be done. Don't continue to move forward with your will, which is the sense consciousness of I'm about to die. The situation is about to kill me, whether it's work situation, whether it's a family situation, whether it's a health situation. And open yourself up and say, God, let thy will be done. You show me the way. You guide me to your greatness. That is what this story is about. That is why it is the triumphant entry to peace. You too, each and every moment that you find adversary, problem. It's 9 o'clock. When you find yourself walking into a problem, know that you too can enter in triumphantly. You too have the capabilities to turn the situation around. To be the conduit of God's guiding you. Hosanna. Ask for God's guidance. Save me is saying, guide me through this because I don't know how to do it. It's all right that we don't know how to do it. Too many times we try to go, God, you know, you got so much going on. I can take care of this little thing. And this little thing turns into something bigger. And we say, God, you know what? My mess, I'll take care of it. And it becomes a larger mess. Until we get into a situation where we're down on our knees and we're begging. We don't have to beg people. But we're down on our knees and we're begging for God's help. Hosanna, save me. You can say that anytime. And I recommend do it. While it's a small thing, do it while it's a question. So God, I have these options. Which option is best to go forward with? It is all right. We look to a doctor if we have a headache or have some sort of issue there, don't we? Go to man's thing there. We go to a minister if we need some spiritual guidance, yes? We go to all these professionals if we need advice. How come we don't go to God directly if we need some sort of advice? We want someone here, earthbound, to amen what we're feeling. And all we need to do is go to God, because God will give us the truth. God will lead us on the path to our victories. And so I say to you, right here, right now, next time you find yourself in a situation, choose to enter in victoriously, triumphantly. Grab a hold of your angst. Ask God for the help that will save you. And once you ask, what do? Listen. See, so many times we ask, and we don't stop to listen. Very simple process. And then once we listen, what is the next step?
Practice.
To do it. To go into action. Do what God says to do. And you know what? Sometimes I question it because it sounds weird. God, you want me to do what? I mean, how many of us have been walking down the street and a stranger goes by and you have this urging to stop the stranger and tell them something? God, you want me to do what? you want me to go to this person who I don't know, who's probably going to think I'm crazy, and tell them something that you want me to tell them? Yes. Okay. Because the situation is, that is what you're asked to do. How they respond is their way. Yes, sometimes you'll do things. You want me to buy what for what, God? Why? Book drops down. You want me to pick this up and look at it? Why? Because it's the answer to prayer. Continue to move forward to action, as weird as it might seem. I get off of the expressway at the wrong entrance all the time. Why? Because I hear a sense of, get off here. I'm like, what? You want me to? I'm so far. Get off here. Okay. And then I find out that there's a traffic jam down there. Yes. Ask, listen, do. And on that note, as you go forward to triumphantly move forward, we have an affirmation for you to help you. And it's by Charles Fillmore. For the people who are doing Keep a True Lent, you'll see it there. The transcending spirit of Christ is in me. I am at peace. I am confident. Let's say that together. The transcending spirit of Christ is in me. I am at peace. I am confident. And so it is. Amen.